Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the
Marco Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Society Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As you all know, or should know, tomorrow is my birthday. I will be turning 30. Finally the age that Swedish waitress said I looked back when I was 17. So I'm almost there. One couple more hours to go and I'll be 30. So this is Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As usual, every Tuesdays at 9 p.m. UK time or 4 p.m. Eastern. And as usual, I'll let you figure out the rest of the time zones because I don't really have a clue. But yeah, so welcome to the show, people. It's nice to see you here in the chat. There's a few people in there at the moment. If you're listening on the download, get yourself in the chat room. You know, I told you I want to go live. It's always a bit of fun. If I find something decent, like from the articles I'm reading, I'll post it and you can have a look at the pictures. It's been a good week for me. I mean, you know, it's my birthday this week. That's pretty much it. No, I say, my mum came around this morning, gave me a little birthday cake, which is quite nice, and gone in about 2 seconds. And my birthday cards and money and shit, you know, usual stuff. But yeah, so main stuff's tomorrow. But I say there's literally just like no presents because the family's paying for my trip to America for the Morlock Radio Live event, which all of you should be coming to. I mean, I'm going, obviously, because you couldn't fucking stop me. But yeah, I say it's August 9th, Just Jake's. Basically, it's like a month tomorrow, so make sure you get yourself there because literally I want to see everyone. Bring your cameras. I will take plenty of pictures of you lot. You know, fucking make this a great thing because literally it's a benefit for Otto Peterson, who, you know, sadly died. And, you know, all the money, it's free entry, but look, we want donations. And basically, I'm bringing a whole shitload of money with me to chuck in the whatever pot or beer glass we're putting it all into. And basically, you know, help out Otto's family. I mean, you know, it's a tough time. It's a tough time to lose someone so close. I mean, I know the same thing. But, you know, yeah, so August 9th, Just Jake's, 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey. Going from 1 till 4, possibly till 5. You know, bunch of comedians. You know, Conti and Kenny going to be there doing their bit. I've met Conti. He's great. I haven't seen Kenny because he was working last year, last year's live event. But I'll be glad to see him and sort of give him a hug. Dave Satick's going to be there. Dan DiMarino from the Cousin Joe show. Those two are fucking hilarious. And, you know, Punchy's going to be there doing his bit. But yeah, it's going to be a really good afternoon of entertainment, and literally most of the hosts are in there. I mean, I did a little meme as I like to do, and like of the group shot we had last year. It was like me, Ariel, is it Punchy, Royce, Marie, Mersh, you know, the scumbags of Mollet Radio, you know, and it was like, you know, the group shot this year is going to be, you know, we're going to need to get several cameras just to take pictures of us all. But now that Royce and Punchy aren't fat anymore, you know, it should be easier to take pictures, get more people in the shot. But yeah, I say it's going to be a great event, and I want to see as many people we can to this, because literally we need the donations, because, you know, we need to help out. Otto's one of us. He's, you know, part of the backbone of MLR. Yeah, it's just sad that, you know, he's not going to be here. It's you know, it's always sad when you lose someone. It's like, I never met the guy, but I, you know, I sort of always wanted to, and now I can't really have a chance. But come along. I'll probably be talking about stories of him, a bunch of his old mates probably going to be there, and, you know, donate, bring some money. It's going to be really, really good. And, you know, I can't wait. I mean, literally, it's sort of half packing now, half gathering bits and pieces, even though it's like a month away. I've still got bits and pieces to take care of, get some money, and, you know, all stuff to sort out. But it's going to be a really good event. August 9th, Just Jake's in Montclair, New Jersey. Get yourself down there. Come and see us. Say hello. Shake hands. Buy me a beer. Buy me two. I don't know. I'm drinking right now anyway. It's my birthday show. What can I do? But yeah, I say what I've been playing. Bits and pieces of everything, really. As I'm off on holiday from work this week. So basically it's non-stop Pokemon breeding, which I did about, I think, like five or six, no, probably eight over the weekend. So I'm sort of cutting down on ones I have to do and bits and pieces here and there, blah, blah, blah. Usual Pokemon stuff you don't want to know. Not a problem. Bit of MLB, the old MLB 2014, MLB The Show. Yeah, it's fun. More the same. It's baseball. I'm just sort of doing bits and pieces, having fun with my custom character. I probably should play a bit more. I haven't played too much because literally I've been playing Tomb Raider, which I've nearly finished. I'm close to. I mean, I've just got to jump in a boat and go to this place, and then I think pretty much I'm done with the game. I mean, I'm looking at like all the collectible stuff that's you know, that's there and available. And I mean, I did all the collectible run when I had it on my Xbox 360, and now I'm like, well, I've finished it, I've done it. It'll probably go on the shelf until I can be sort of, you know, bothered to play it again, which I probably will do. But, you know, I'll just sort of, when a new one does come out, I'll probably sort of pass it on, sell it or something for, I don't know, tuppence or whatever. But yeah, the other thing I have been playing, it's a free game because we've got a bunch of free stuff come on the PlayStation Plus. I got a copy of Strider. Now, this is an extremely fun game. Now, anyone's got a PlayStation 4, I recommend, because it's free. Fuck it, it's free. Pick it up. I mean, it's the same with the Xbox games for gold. Make sure you pick every single one of them up, and whatever stuff you get for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, because, I mean, they got Dead Space 3, which is on PlayStation 3, and I need to sort of turn the PlayStation 3 on and, you know, get that downloaded as well.
So I have some Dead Space to play, even though, well, it's probably not going to be the last one, but I do want to see a new Dead Space game. But yeah, I say, you know, Strider, it's a lot of fun. It's your, what the hell was that term last week? I can't remember. Was it Metroid collectible? It was, but you know, sort of like that, really. It's one big sort of open area sort of thing, and you sort of run from sort of screen to screen, killing enemies, gathering items, defeating bosses. And it is a lot of fun. It really is. I can't, you know, I mean, I'm stuck at the moment. It pisses me off that I'm stuck because I don't know if I'll bother keep playing it because I did because Jack from Talk Radio Meltdown, another show on the station you should listen to, really good show. He's been showing me sort of, well, not showing me, but putting up pictures on Facebook of Infamous Second Son. And I'm like, wow, that game looks amazing. And I bit the bullet this morning and I bought it. I got it quite cheap, actually, which I'm quite happy for. And I paid a bit of extra money to have it delivered to me as soon as possible. So I'm sort of hoping that that will turn up tomorrow on my birthday. Nice birthday present for me. And I'll play that a bit for a laugh. And you know, it looks like a really fun game. I'm not too sure what the story is exactly because, I mean, I had the first Infamous on my PlayStation 3 before I wiped the hard drive because I couldn't remember what the password was and email address was wrong, all that sort of bullshit story that I told you all before. But yeah, so I'll pick this up and play it. It's an open world, exploring, probably destructible stuff, all sorts of crazy shit going on. Lots and lots of fun to be had. So basically, I'm looking forward to playing that. I mean, I do want to pick up Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, but I'm not in a hurry for that at the moment either. I'll probably wait close until we get the release date of Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain and then sort of knock out Ground Zeroes and then head straight into Phantom Pain. Because in Ground Zeroes, there's only, a couple of hours long. I think someone did it in about 10, 15 minutes, something like that. I don't know, some of those stupid speed runs that people do. But yeah, I mean, Strider, a lot of fun. I think I've defeated about 3 or 4 bosses. I'm stuck on the guy called Solo. He's this sort of flying guy, bounty hunter type guy, and he sort of literally sort of flies around the screen and it's tricky to kill him because you've got to jump up. I mean, I've just got the double jump and it's just sort of, I don't know if maybe my health is, I mean, because it's sort of, I'm sort of wondering, I probably need to do some checks on this because my health, I've got so many health upgrades that if I should go back and try and find if there's any other health upgrades, I mean, my health is sort of half of what the bar is, so I'm guessing either I'm halfway through the game or that's okay. I don't know if that's where I'm supposed to be, but I mean, the boss is quite tricky because he has some powerful attacks. A lot of them I can dodge. He does this one. He's got basically this giant gun, and he sort of fires it into the ground. Then it shoots lasers at you diagonally from the ground. So basically what you do is you sort of run to one side of the screen and then, sort of dodge the... Because when they sort of arc over, go diagonally over you, one of the engines can sort of hide underneath it, and that's fine. And then there's one where he shoots at the ground, and it shoots out these sort of triangles, and then you can sort of hide in the middle of the screen, and nothing hits you. And it's stuff like that. And then there's the beam one, which he just fires across the screen, which you've got to time so you can jump over it. And then it's all about timing with this guy. I mean, it's a lot. It's a fun boss. It does remind me of Deathstroke from Batman Arkham Origins, like the whole timing thing. You've got to sort of time it that when he hits you and then your counter. It's sort of like that with this. It's trying to get your shots in to hit him. And I've got this other one where it's like this sort of bird type thing where you, it just fires this bird across the screen. And I'm trying to aim to take some of his energy out by sort of jumping up at the right time. And then, you're just firing off this bird thing. To take some of his energy down. But no, I mean, I'll keep going with it. I'm not going to give up. It's a great game. It's really fun. It's very colourful. The action's very fun. I mean, I'm having tons of fun with it. I'm sort of like playing bits of Tomb Raider, then going back to Strider. I mean, when I'm doing my Pokemon stuff, I'm sort of breeding the eggs. And once the energy runs out on the O-Powers, I'm like, okay, yep, put that down, pick up some Strider, play some more, and, you know, It's a very fun game. So I recommend everyone to pick it up. It's really good. I mean, even the whole, because it's very Tron-esque, the way it looks, with how the whole city's set up. I mean, because you've got all the stuff going off in the foreground, you're attacking people, and then you've got the whole background city that to look at, and it's very lovely, it's very beautiful, it's a really good sort of setting, and it's very engrossing. I mean, because there's like stuff going on top parts of the city where it's like you can see construction, all sorts of stuff, and there's a bit to where I've got to a certain part where there's like a train station, and you see the trains, you know, just so much stuff to see. It's a really fun game. I can't recommend it highly enough. Because literally, I mean, it's free, so fucking pick it up. But, you know, have fun with it. Don't aim for anything. Just sort of hack and slash your way through it. Do what you need to. I mean, I've been collecting loads of different, not power-ups, they're sort of hidden items. And I've been going sort of room to room to fill up the maps, trying to find all the stuff that I can. And it's really, really fun. I am having tons of fun with it. But, yeah, so keep persisting, keep playing. I mean, not that's about it, really. I mean, that's the thing. I'm sort of stuck for stuff to play, but I mean, I did sign up for the what the hell was it? The beta for, well, not base sign up. I did pre-order Destiny for my PlayStation 4, so that's, you know, coming to me when that comes out in September. I do plan on booking the week off work so I can literally sit here and just play it non-stop for a good week. But yeah, I say I pre-ordered it. I got my beta code, which I signed into the old Bungie website. Signed that in. I'm all set. I've just got to wait for, I think, another code that comes back. From them, you know, telling me, you know, enter this into here, and then yep, access to the beta, which I think lasts for about 10 days. I think it's like the 17th to the 27th. So that's it's a pretty good stretch of time. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the differences are, because I mean, I've heard they've been changing Peter Dinklage's voice. He's doing new lines, sort of, so it sounds different or better. Because people, I've read out on the show from the news articles, people have been complaining, and I'm like, well, it's Peter Dinklage. The guy's awesome in everything he does. There's nothing to change. So we should do a sort of the end of Jay and Silent Bob, just send Peter Dinklage around with a crossbow. But yeah, I mean, it's I can't wait to play it. I'm literally climbing the walls. I'm like, I need some Destiny. I need Destiny now. I need to play this game. But yeah, I can't wait for the beta. Mainly to see what the differences are between, you know, alpha and beta. And then when the final game comes out, how good that's going to look. But yeah, it's going to be really good. And I just need to play it. I really do. It's going to be a really good game. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of other stuff coming out towards the end of the year that I want to play. Stuff coming out next year. A whole bunch of stuff. It's just trying to find, you know, stuff to keep me entertained for a while. I mean, you lot know what I'm like. That was a few months ago. I went for like a completing a game a week. Trying to find stuff to play, it's a bit tricky, but I mean, having all this PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold, all these free games that we're getting, you know, you can't turn your nose up at them. You've got to, you know, download them while they're free and then just play them. It's, you know, something for your catalogue, basically. But yeah, that pretty much wraps that up, what I've been playing. I mean, I've been, you know, for this week's topic, I've probably gone over it before, but there's other stuff I've added to the list. It's like my favourite games and your favourite games, because now we've actually got more of a listenership than last time I did this. I've actually got replies from people, which is helpful. But yeah, you know, I've asked people what their favourite games are, and I'm like, sort of looking at stuff as well that's on my list, and there's other stuff that I've still got access to that I want to play. I mean, I've got Bar Oasis on my list, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, I want to go through that and play that again. But yeah, well, as usual, to the listeners first. I want to, you know what you... all you lot want to what you lot are playing, what your favourite games are. First from Dee, from, you know, she does Dutch and Royce and Hippo Juice, which is Dutch and Royce is on later tonight, Hippo Juice is on tomorrow. But yeah, she says, my all-time favourite is Final Fantasy 3, or Final Fantasy 6 as it was in Japan. I used to play it all summer vacation. Also love Final Fantasy 2 and 9. Yeah, I mean, I haven't... See, this thing is what pissed me off, the fact that I had to wipe the whole hard drive clean of my PlayStation 3, because I had Final Fantasy 6, because I was making my way through 5 and then 6, and I need to re-download them again. I mean, they should be pretty cheap now, and put some money in my pocket, and, well, take some money out of my pocket and put it into this, and I'll pick something up and gives me something to play for a few days. But yeah, so Final Fantasy 9, I loved Final Fantasy 9. It was the classic fantasy-esque. You know, we had Zidane Tribal, one of the few Final Fantasy characters' names I know, the whole name, his whole name. But then, you know, there was Princess Garnet, Dagger, Vivi. I mean, I was just watching like the ending of this the other week. But yeah, it's a very beautiful game. The cutscenes are amazing in that. And the character development. I say, Final Fantasy IX, if you haven't played it, it's on PlayStation Store. Pick it up. I recommend it. You know, if you've got PlayStation 3, because... Yes, I think that's what pisses me off. I'd love to have some of the PlayStation 3 games be able to play on the PlayStation 4. I mean, I don't really know why you couldn't sort of work it, sort of, I don't know, sort of pass it over. But yeah, Final Fantasy IX, great game. D also says about the Mass Effect series, one of my favourites as well. She says particularly 2 is my favourite newer game I've played. She says I love the story and the characters. Yeah, I mean, me and Dee were messaging each other, messaging each other about Mass Effect, and you know, all the characters, the endings we chose, and you know, Mass Effect. Everyone loves Mass Effect. You can't, you cannot. It's impossible. It's, you know, it's BioWare at their finest. But yeah, I mean, I'll go into what I like, you know, sort of RPGs and stuff in a second. But yeah, Mass Effect. I mean, I'm literally itching. I hope this one, sort of hoping Destiny does. I'm hoping it sort of, you know, it suits my itch. I need some sci-fi shooter RPG, you know, open worldy stuff to sort of, you know, to make me feel good about playing stuff again. But yeah, Diesel also says Call of Duty 4, which I can agree is on my list as well. Diablo 2, Dragon Age, which we've also been talking about. I can't wait for this new Dragon Age. It looks really good. Super Mario World, Counter-Strike on the PC, The Sims franchise, Shining Force 2, and Secret of Mana. But yeah, I mean, Matty liked to comment, and you know, Shining Force 2, you know, that's one of it. I think Secret of Mana, both of Matty's games as well. He likes them both. And from Kevin, from Alcohol by Volume, which is coming up straight after me, he says, what the fuck's wrong with me? Hang on. Let me have another drink. Should make it easier. One sec. That's better, yeah. The Monkey Island franchise, including Telltale's re-release. I tried to get into the Monkey Island games. I really did when they came out with the re-release, the sort of updated graphics style version. Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. I mean, I don't have that nostalgic feeling that some people do about the games. It would be nice if I did, to be honest, but, you know, I played it. It was okay. I didn't get very far because I'm like, it's not puzzles in puzzles. It's sort of stupid puzzles. It's like, you know, put the lobster in the pot or give the, dog the sausage. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on and there's nothing telling me what to do. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. So it sort of confused the shit out of me. But it's just sort of that. I mean, because I'm not a PC gamer. D goes and talks about Counter-Strike. I've never been a real PC gamer. I mean, the most PC stuff I played was the demo for TIE Fighter 20 odd years ago when that came out. But yeah, it's also Final Fantasy X. Yep, the last great Final Fantasy game. Red Dead Redemption. Oh, definitely Red Dead Redemption. But yeah, some good games on that list. And Brian as well, he says, from a nostalgic point, I would say Final Fantasy X. Another one, Final Fantasy X. You know, it's a very nostalgic game. I'm just, I'll go back to, was it Final Fantasy 12? Yeah, Final Fantasy 12. As much as I didn't like the game, I was watching cutscenes and stuff about the story. I'm like, you know, it had a really decent story. It wasn't... What classic Final Fantasy? I mean, I'm an old school romantic. I like a nice bit of romance in my games that have, you know, RPG and, you know, from Final Fantasy, basically, you know, Final Fantasy VII, you had the love triangle between Aerith and Cloud and Tifa. And then Final Fantasy VIII, you had, Rhaenyra and Squall. And then 9, you had Dagger and Zidane and... 10, you had Tidus and Yuna. God, I'm trying to think now. 11, there was no one because it was the online one. And 12, there wasn't really one to say because it was sort of... There was love stories between characters that wasn't happening. But, I mean, I know 12 had the very sexy bunny ladies. Yeah, but, you know, it's all that sort of stuff. He also goes, Brian also goes on about Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, the series. I really wanted to get into that. I just sort of missed the boat on that one ever so slightly. I mean, I really did. It was, you know, a really good series from what I've been told by everyone. It's just sort of something that I've never got into and sort of missed the boat on. This is a Tekken Tag tournament. Yep, I agree. Tekken Tag tournament was really good. It, you know, it had literally every single character that you could want. I mean, I probably should pick up Tekken Tag Tournament 2. I mean, I've heard not so good stuff about it, but it's worth a play, you know. Super Mario RPG, I never played it, but I do know of it. This is can't say any of these hold up anymore. The one I really have went back and played more than twice is Super Mario RPG. Yeah, but yeah, thanks to all the listeners and other show hosts for making that easier for me. But no, as I say I do have a topic for next week, which I will talk about once I've gone through my list. But yeah, so my list is basically it's a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I try to think of games from every genre and what they mean to me and why they're my favourite games. I mean, I do need to pick a new version of this. Mario Kart 64. I mean, I had it on my N64 back in the day. I mean, I do want to pick up Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS because I know when I go to the States, I would like to say something else apart from Pokemon and Donkey Kong. But yeah, I say Mario Kart 64 was a very, very fun game back in the day. You know, I had so much fun with it. I mean, my favourite level, which sort of pissed me off because I was looking at, you know, seeing what the tracks are for Mario Kart 7. I was a big fan of the Wario Stadium one, the big sort of giant monster truck type sort of arena stadium thing with all the sand and lights and the dirt banks and stuff. Yeah, that's a really great course. I would love that if that was in the newer games, but it's not. But it does have a bunch of other ones. And it's just a really fun game. It literally is the classic, well, not old school, but, you know, sort of super-ish, old-ish. Because, you know, we had, was it Mario Kart on the... Was it just on the Nintendo? I think it was on the Super Nintendo first. Yeah, Super Nintendo, then N64. But, yeah. You know, Mario Kart, you can't go wrong with Mario Kart. And, it spawned a whole load of other clones that we have today. You know, fucking Little Big Planet Kart, Shrek Kart, Crash Bandicoot Kart. You know, we got that Star Wars Episode 1, was it Bombad Racing? That, you know, it's basically just spawned a whole load of clones. But, yes, it shows how much of an impression it leaves on other games. You know, it's just one of the benchmarks, basically. What else have I got on my list? Let's have a look. Fighting Force. Now, a lot of people probably won't know this one. This was a PlayStation 1 game back in the day. It did have a sequel. But, I mean, Fighting Force was your 3D version of Streets of Rage, Dungeons and Dragons. What am I thinking? Double Dragon. You know, the classic side-scroller beat-em-up. But this was in, like, full 3D. Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, there was, like, four characters. I know the main guy was called Hawk, I think. I believe so. But, yeah, he was in the second one. It was literally in the sequel. He was, like, the only character. They sort of done away with the other three. And it was one who was some really muscly guy who's, like, the heavyweight. And there was, like, two really attractive sort of women in it as well. The women were the better characters, to be honest, because they were more skillful with the moves. It was sort of more martial arts based, whereas Hawk was like a sort of close combat boxer, and the other guy was sort of like your Jack from Tekken Tag or Zangief, sort of heavy muscle guy, you know, all about the power. But yeah, I say it was a really fun game, and I mean, it's a shame we don't really have that many of the sort of beat 'em up style side scrolling sort of beat 'em up style games around anymore. I mean, this was like, you know, it was a really good game back in the day. I mean, I think me and my sister played it together and just had tons of fun with it. It's like, you know, just go around beating up people. There's like weapons and different areas, and it was like there was one bit on a train. It was like outside like an office block, and it was, you know, this sort of secret islands and stuff. I mean, it was quite hard, but it was a lot of fun, and it was a great one to play. But yeah, so Fighting Force, really good game. I think it's on the PlayStation Store. It might be. I don't know. You'll have to look. But I mean, go on YouTube, look up some videos for it. It's really good stuff. But yeah, other stuff I think I've talked about before. Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy, which you know I talked about earlier. But yeah, I'm a big, you know, most of the stuff that will be my favourite sort of games are the ones that have like emotional stories. I mean, you know, I do like my old romantic stuff, but I like something that sort of makes me think about what's happened in the game. You know, stuff that I can look back on and think, well, I want to play that again, which is why I'm playing Tomb Raider again. I wouldn't say this Tomb Raider is one of my favourite games, but I'd say it's good enough that I want to pick it up again. And I did, basically. But there's just, it's just so many good games. As I say, last week was pretty simple-ish, trying to work out all the shitty games that I played. But trying to think of all the, my favourite games. I mean, I've been sitting on the sofa here for a couple of hours, like thinking, oh, okay, what was on this system that I played? What was on that system? When you know, I was sort of going through lists of like Xbox with all the games that came out, and it's like just looking for stuff that I remembered. Just so much stuff that was there, and you know, lots of things like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm big games that make me games that keep my emotions going. That you know, I mean, say about Metal Gear Solid with the whole and you know, adds to the relationship the Sniper Wolf stuff with Otacon. You know, and then at the end when they were leaving, and then, you know, it's just a really good game was Metal Gear Solid. You know, I'd love it to be remade. What else? Yeah, here we are. I don't really have too many sports games on this list. But FIFA World Cup 98, a game that's nearly 20 years old. But yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun with this. I mean, I've got a lot of the songs that were on the soundtrack for it. It's on my iPod. I think it was like Song 2 by Blur and some other bits and pieces. But yeah, it was just, excuse me. It was a really fun game that I had lots and lots of fun with. You know, it's football. It's, you know, you can't go wrong with football. But yeah, I just sort of, you know, the commentary was good. The graphics were good. It was just very fun to play. It was before everything got crazy. It was sort of the peak of what I'd say with FIFA was before everything started going crazy and you need to have two different arms trying to pull off the different flips and tricks and shit like that. You know, it was just classic football. But yeah, you know, FIFA World Cup 98, a great favourite of mine. But yeah, really, really good. Some of my favourite games, the Arkham series, the Batman stuff, I've got to say that, they are awesome. I mean, I am so looking forward to Arkham Knight. You know, Arkham Origins, not as good as the other games, but a very, very close second place to both Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. I'm trying to think now, actually, whether I like Arkham Origins more than I like Arkham City. I mean, Arkham Origins did have a much better intro-wise, rather than over City. I mean, you know, City was okay. It was sort of, you know, you were Bruce Wayne, you got caught by the Penguin and thrown in prison. And then you sort of escape, and then you go on the rooftop, and then you get shot down your bat suit, and it sort of appears, and you dress up. And it's like a sort of thing like that, but it was slightly more emotional with Origins, the way it happened. But, yeah, the Arkham series, really, really good. I mean, you know, Kevin Conroy as Batman, you can never go wrong with that. Mark Hamill as the Joker, can't go wrong with that either. I'm actually sort of just looking forward to seeing what he does with the new Star Wars movies when that comes out in a couple of years. But yeah, I say, you know, the Arkham series, really, really good. And, you know, worth a play. Even now, if you can pick it up, go and pick it up. It's really, really good. I mean, I just want to start with Arkham Asylum. I do regret buying the special edition. I think I've still got that sitting around somewhere because it sort of came in a different box and you couldn't sell it on unless you had all the pieces together. And that's the bad thing about the collector's stuff. It's like, yeah, you've got to make sure you have all the bits and pieces if you want to sell it on. Otherwise, you can't, basically. What else we got on this list? Oh, stealthy games. I mean, I posted this on the Facebook page. What the hell was it? A few days ago, I think. Yeah, a few days ago. And, you know, I said, anything with a good stealthy elements in it, because I'm sort of playing Tomb Raider. But, yeah, I think about Watch Dogs, that sort of stuff. Anything with decent stealthy elements where I can take down enemies that you know, I mean, trust, I'm not. I like a good firefight, you know, with the Call of Duty stuff, as you know, those games are designed to be like that. But I mean, anything where I don't really have to get my hands dirty that badly, I'm good with. I mean, that's what I liked so much about Watch Dogs. What was it? The gang shutdowns or whatever they were called. Basically, there's like one little area and there's like about a dozen or so gang members, and you had to sort of kill all them and then sort of knock down their leader. Any sort of thing like where it lets me just go to a hideout, take out each guard, you know, however I want. That's fun for me. I mean, you know. I'll have some fun doing that Assassin's Creed. I mean, there's several times in Assassin's Creed there's been like little locations where I could go and what the hell was it? Sort of, you know, like a chest was being guarded by a couple of blokes at each entrance. I'd sort of shimmy up to the roof, you know, stab the guy with your hidden blade up there, and then sort of sneak back down. A couple of guys in the doorway, sort of walk up to them and then stab them, and you know. Anything where I can sort of, you know, sneak around and take people out that way saves me having to, you know, because I'm a big strategy tactics person. I mean, you know, anything I can think about how to take people out slowly and easily and, you know, saves me hassle, you know, because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this sort of stuff. I really want to do it right, you know, and perfect without being seen. And, you know, that's what I sort of like the Metal Gear Solid stuff, because you can do the stealthy element. And Tomb Raider I'm having fun with, because I literally make sure I buy all the upgrades for my guns that have the silence weapons. But yeah, it's basically any stealthy game is literally one of my favourites. Yeah, whenever we get one, basically. There we are. Something from the N64 as well. Shadows of the Empire. Now, this was a really good game, and if you can get it, if you still got an N64 and it works, pick it up. It's probably a rarity to find these days. But yeah, Shadows of the Empire, an amazing game. I mean, mainly for the whole set piece stuff. I mean, the on-foot bits were a bit annoying. You know, they were sort of trying to get through them as soon as possible. But, I mean, I did keep going back through the final mission where you were in basically, you were doing the TIE fighter battle from Star Wars. But you were in a sort of knock-off of the Millennium Falcon. But, yeah, and there was, like, the missions where you were basically doing the Hoth battle as well. And then you're just doing those two missions over and over again, you know, reliving the action from the movies. And so, you know, I mean, it was a really good game. I mean, there was like a hidden ending at the end, which was, you know, beat the game on super hard on every mission and stuff I didn't really bother with. But now with the internet, you can sort of, you know, watch it on YouTube because someone else has done it for you. Saves you having to do it. But yeah, Shadows of the Empire, a really good game. You know, it all ties in with the Star Wars stuff. There was like, I think it was other Star Wars characters in there. But yeah, a really, really good game. I mean, half the levels I can't remember because it has been so long ago since I played it. But I say it was a really, really good game. But yeah, I'll say stick with Star Wars stuff for a second. As I say, with this whole set pieces, Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2, very good games. I mean, I say, because love for the whole Star Wars stuff. And then it was like, you know, sort of, I was that age when the Star Wars, you know, the prequels came out when I thought they were good movies. And then I'm sort of like reliving the battles over, you know, just sort of, I jump into, God, where was it? It was like a speeder. Land speeder? I think, what the hell? Some sort of speeder with a gun on it. I was sort of whizzing around the streets of Naboo on one of those with the gun turret and just sort of taking out enemies. Yeah, it's just really, really fun. And I can't wait for this next one because, you know, multiplayer, all of us getting online together and having some fun and just basically blowing the shit out of each other for hours and hours and hours. But, I mean, that's what sort of, you know, tangent slightly, that's what I like about this whole new console generation. We are getting games that we've got before, the fact that, you know, Tomb Raider, Metro, Grand Theft Auto, but the games that we are getting are stuff that's come out several generations ago that we all loved. So we're getting sort of updated remakes. I mean, we're going through the whole Hollywood movie thing at the moment, where we're getting basically remakes of movies, whether we want them or not, just with updated, you know, because cameras are better and updated, you know, CGI or you know, animation or whatever. And you know, some of them are bad, mainly the Tim Burton stuff, but you know, a lot of the stuff we are getting is pretty good. But and it's as say, it's transitioning over to games. We're getting, you know, the Star Wars Battlefront. But I mean, it's a sequel that we want, and the fact that the way consoles are these days, we can have, you know, better graphics, better gameplay, more connectivity. I can be playing someone from across the world. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's just really something that's worth coming out. But yeah, just thinking now, with the new movies coming out, will we be getting some of those set pieces and expansion, or will they wait until we've had like two or three, and the second movie or that's come out, and then we'll get the set pieces from them, or we don't really know what the story is for Battlefront, but I'm going to imagine it's basically, you know, we go to Endor, or we go to Naboo, or we go to Yavin, or we're somewhere on the Cloud City of Bespin, something like that, really. And we just sort of, so if we're in the Cloud City above Bespin, we're, in the cloud cars, shooting at each other, someone's got the Millennium Falcon, or we're running across, like, the platforms, something like that. Something that's, fun and entertaining, basically. But yeah, I mean, Star Wars Battlefront, it's one of my games that I'm looking forward to when it does come out. Here we are. Other stuff as well. I don't know if this is widely well known, but I mean, it's a great game series, and I recommend, if you can, say it's on the N64, if you can pick it up, get it. The Cruising games. Cruising USA, Cruising Worlds. These games are awesome. I mean, I think I love Cruising USA. I think you do... Shit, it's one of the sort of home county country sort of farms and fields level. Because stuff happens on these games that I think I've probably talked about this before, where you'll be in a car, you go into sort of the cockpit view, you'll be basically, you'll run over a deer, and then there'll be like a leg of the deer smashed the car, and there'll be blood everywhere, or you'd just be driving, there'd be flies on the screen and the window wipers would kick on, or there'd be like birds flying overhead and they take a shit on your car. Stuff like that. And it's just a really fun game. I mean, I think I was playing this on the cruise ship when I was going to Germany. How old was I? 15, 16? So, yeah, was it 15? Yeah, I think it was about 15 years ago. I was sitting on a cruise ship playing, I think it was like Cruising USA, I think they had... And just sort of playing this for hours and hours and hours. But yeah, the Cruising games, some of the best racing games you'll find. Probably don't hold up well till today's standards, because it was an N64 game. But very, very fun games, worth a play. I mean, nothing, didn't take yourself too seriously, but it was a game you could have lots of fun with, especially with the multiplayer. Someone else has a controller and then you can play as well with split screen. It was one of the few games that sort of, the internet wasn't what it was back. Well, it wasn't what it is now back then. I would have loved to sort of gone on Amazon if there was an Amazon then. Well, no, I mean, I know there wasn't, but you know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, and then sort of pick it up. But yeah, Cruising games, very, very fun, very entertaining and worth a play. Literally, I mean, you probably can't find it now. If you can, good. But go on YouTube, it's another one to you look up. The Cruising games, tons and tons of fun. What else we got on this list? Knights of the Old Republic. Now this is a piece of awesome. It is the forerunner to the Mass Effect series, which they said was one of her favourites. But yeah, Knights of the Old Republic, an amazing game, amazing characters, an amazing story. I was sort of fucked up with my copy because it sort of glitched at the end, so I couldn't see the ending. And the fact that I found the boss fight really hard, and I just couldn't be asked to go through it again, because this was on the old the original Xbox, the first Xbox before the Xbox One. but yeah, this is what I like about games that say, it had emotional story, and it sort of, this is what I like about RPGs, the good ones, that is, they have to make me feel part of the world, and this did. Because it would be like, you'd go from here to there, meeting various characters. This was the Star Wars universe. When I played this, the same as the Cruising stuff. This was like 15, 16 years ago, sort of back at the height of my Star Wars love, where it was, Star Wars was good back in the day, and now it's sort of fucked up, and hopefully whatever J.J. Abrams is doing can correct it. And, I don't know. But no, we'll wait and see. But no, I say Knights of the Old Republic, really, really fun. And, you know, excuse me. But yeah, I mean, what I loved about the characters, the plot twist, which sort of came out of nowhere, to be honest. I mean, because basically, spoiling a 15-year-old game, basically there was like, they talk about like a dark Sith Lord who was like, it's all evil and horrible, and basically it's you. They sort of did a mind wipe on you, and yeah, you're sort of being relearned how to, you know, being retaught how to be a Jedi. You know, and then you can sort of, you know, you can do the good or bad route. You can sort of kill people. You can, you know, it's, as I say, it gives you free, you know, use your own free will. It gives you choice. You can do the good decisions or the bad ones. It's like, anything you want to really want to do, you go anywhere you really want. It's up to you. And it was tons of fun. It was like some sort of bike race that was a bit tricky, but it was very entertaining when it was, you know, playing it. But I mean, that was what I liked about it. It's just like, they gave you an open world to explore. You could do whatever you want, go wherever you wanted. I mean, you know, kill pretty much anyone you wanted, I think. It's a long time ago since I played this. I mean, this game was spoiled with the fact we got, what was it? Oh, Knights of the Old Republic 2, that terrible thing from fucking Obsidian. Yeah. But yeah, Knights of the Old Republic, which I do really want to play the new, you know, the MMO, but I'm sort of holding back from it, mainly because I have no interest in MMOs at the moment. I mean, I'm sort of seeing stuff posted by Eligible Monster about, you know, Final Fantasy 14, but I'm like, I'm waiting for Destiny, to be honest. But you know, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, you know, other Star Wars stuff that I did like. The Lego Star Wars stuff is like a fond favourite of mine because it was so well tied in with the movies. Both, you know, Lego Star Wars 1 and 2, you know, the original movies and the complete saga and, you know, that sort of stuff, all very good. Also, a little bit of a mention. I mean, I don't think a lot of people liked it, but I actually had a lot of fun because, same with Knights of the Old Republic, this game made me feel part of the world. And it was the Star Wars Episode 1 game we got on the PlayStation. Because, I mean, PlayStation had this sort of movie tie-in game, and then Xbox had, like, the sort of Obi-Wan's adventures. But, yeah, the Star Wars Episode 1 game, it was really, really good. I could play it again and again and again. Sort of, you know, working out the puzzles and meeting people. It had locations. I say, this was me back in the day, the height of, you know, my Star Wars love. And, you know, really, really good to play. Also, honourable mention, as I talked about Mario Kart, the Star Wars pod race game, the first one, not the second one where it was like a grown-up Anakin, the very first one on the N64. I mean, I remember back, I think it was just around the time that Episode 1 came out, it was at me and my old man, we went down to, was it Wembley Arena in London, and they had like a big Star Wars convention going on, and they sort of had like the props, and they had the pod racer unit that was used in the movie, where, you know, fucking Jake Lloyd was sit, and then there was a bit where it sort of went dark and they had like a Naboo starfighter, well, the actual Naboo starfighter fly over the top of us, you know, suspended on like a track or something, but you know, came over the head. I probably don't have them anymore, but I used to have pictures of all this sort of stuff before this was all on, these were on paper pictures, not before the SD cards. But yeah, me and my dad just played pod racer for a little bit. Really, really fun game. I think I had it. Probably went and picked it up anyway. But yeah, really, really fun game. You know, really good. But yeah, so there are some, you know, I mean, people say there are no good Star Wars games. But there are a few. Not too many, but there are a few, and they're worth playing when you do get around to them. And most of the good stuff's on the PC. But, you know, Pod Racer, Episode 1. Where's it gone? Yeah, Battlefront. And, you know, Lego Star Wars. You know, they're all good games. Also, yeah, Call of Duty 4. I think Dee's talking about this. Call of Duty 4 will always be, I think, for the moment, my first real stint into... Well, I could say Call of Duty 3 with a multiplayer, but all in all, everything that was pretty much in Call of Duty 4, the multiplayer and the single player, really, really good game. I mean, yeah, I'm a big fan of the voice actors. Was it Billy Murray played Captain Price, and then you had I can't think of his name. Played Gaz. It was Craig Fairbrass. There we go. Yeah, he played Gaz. But yeah, I mean, the whole game was amazing. It was, you know, Charles, I think this is the height of what Infinity Ward was, because now they're pretty much playing second fiddle or sledgehammer. But you know, all the missions, you know, the sniping bits, the ghillie suits, these are iconic stuff from the last generation of games, and it's like, this will always be something that is a benchmark for other you know, first person shooters to strive to. I mean, as much as I love Modern Warfare 3 over Modern Warfare 2, and pretty much any other Call of Duty since, I can't really name of any of the set pieces or the big action scenes or, you know, I mean, you know, I say about the ghillie suit, you know, leaving the building dressed in the ghillie suit was the obviously just shot Sakaev, I think that was the guy's name. So he sort of loses the arm, even though I did that sniper mission so many times and basically shot him in the head so many times, you always end up taking an arm off, which is a bit of a bastard. They should have at least given you an achievement shooting him in the head, even though you sort of didn't do what you were supposed to shoot at, you know, but you took him out anyway, you know. But yeah, Call of Duty 4, an amazing game, and pick it up if you haven't played it, and I can't imagine there's not enough people who haven't played it yet, because it's such a good game. What else we got? The Godfather, and this sort of ties in with Grand Theft Auto 3, two of my very favourite games, open world ones. I think too many people played The Godfather, sort of movie tie-in game, sort of, but you know, 30 years after the date. But yeah, it was a really fun game, sort of. I mean, it was a bad thing, actually, because I had the second one as well, very good. It was sort of open world gangster stuff, as you'd expect. There was loads of different gangs that you could take out, so you'd have to go to their various shops, get into fights with them, and then sort of take over the whole map of New York and make it just, you know, the Corleone family. But yeah, very, very good. You know, it was a pain because the second one, I think it was like create your own character, but the second game, you know, your character that you played in the first one gets killed. So it's like, okay, this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be, because you know, you're playing as a different character, and the guy you were dies, basically. But I mean, yeah, it's a really fun game. The first one and the second one. Second one not as good as the first one, but it was pretty much just, you know, part and parcel, same thing, but just, you know, newer. What else we got on this list? Just Cause 2. Yes, I prefer Just Cause 2 over Just Cause 1 because I did a lot more in Just Cause 2. And basically, cause I sort of went back and played it a second time. And a third as well. But yeah, the Just Cause games, very good. Open world, exploring. I mean, the Infinity Parachute thing, the weapons. I mean, the voice acting is terrible, but it's terrible for a reason. But yeah, just, I love the open world, destruction, violence, the multiple possibilities you can do. I mean, I sort of go to the airport in Just Cause 2 and then tie a car to a jumbo jet and then fly that off. Tie a car to a jumbo jet and then get back in the car and then have the plane take you wherever you want to go. You know, it would fly around and then you'd be attached to it in the car. And so much craziness and fun and possibilities it can be had, and it just makes this a really good game. Also, the Metro games, so this is why, it's another thing, so that's why I'm so happy to sort of see this. It's coming out on the PlayStation 4, and I think the Xbox One as well. Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light. I mean, I am itching to play Metro Last Light again because I only went through it the once, whereas Metro 2033, as I say, I've told you numerous times, I have the book. And I went through the game many a time because it's such a fun game. Really, really is. But yeah, I'd say stealthy, good story. It has everything I want in a game. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the graphics are with the, you know, updated whatever. But yeah, I want to go back into the older Russian subways. But yeah, really, really good. And you know, so I recommend to everyone, watch some videos. If you like it, pick it up. You know, I can't really say go and buy it. Watch some videos. If you like what it's about, pick it up. You'll have a lot of fun. The story's really good. The characters are great. It's a very emotional trip. I mean, it does say, like, about RPGs that make you feel part of the world. This, it literally just shoves you underground. It's very warm and desolate, both at the same time. When you're sort of wandering through the tunnels, I mean, the first bit where you sort of get knocked out, you in a dream sequence, it's like, okay, yep. You feel dark, and you feel the environment crawling in around you. It's very claustrophobic, but it's a lot of fun. I really can't recommend this game enough. Metro Last Light, I'm literally just dying to play that again several times through. But yeah, it's going to be really good. Also, another stuff, as I know I've got to take a break soon, Need for Speed Most Wanted. Not the recent one that was a pile of dog shit, even though my mate at work says it was good. The one from 2005, the original PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360 port. This was classic Need for Speed back in the day. This was sort of the pinnacle of what we wanted. I mean, Need for Speed Underground, yes, very good games. But this, worth a pickup. But yeah, really, really good. It's, you know, I sort of missed it. I was hoping with this recent Need for Speed that we got done by Criterion, it was like it was going to be a basic remake, but it wasn't. It was something different and shoved under the Need for Speed Most Wanted title, which was a pain in the arse, to be honest. Other stuff, I was going to whiz through all this list quite quickly. The James Bond games done by EA, like Agent Under Fire and Nightfire, they were cheesy, but they were lots of fun. They were very sort of tongue-in-cheek, and they were sort of pushing the envelope on what James Bond was, and the car chases were fun. It was just a really fun game that you could have a laugh with. Lots of attractive women because the graphics are pretty good. Very attractive sort of models for the women that on that one. But yeah, look, give it a watch on YouTube. Have a look at it yourself. I mean, I think it was like the one decent weapon used at the end was like a rocket launcher. I think it was the end of Nightfire. And you sort of only use it once, I think. Bioshock, the original Bioshock. That has to be on everyone's list of favourite games. You know, the whole plot twist and the story. I mean, I'm not going to say it because I think Kevin from Alcohol by Volume is playing for the whole series at the moment. But yeah, Bioshock 2, good. Not as good as the first one, because basically it's more of the same, which is made apparent by the recent Bioshock, because he went back to Columbia because, you know, we wanted more of Rapture instead of Columbia, which is why you got all the DLC. And now the studio's closed down and we're not going to get any more Bioshock. Yeah, so much for that. But I've got a Bioshock story from Ken Levine coming up in the news once I get back from the break. But yeah, other stuff as well. Fallout 3, I'm itching for a new Fallout. I really want to play some more Fallout. Oblivion, also done by Bethesda. Very good games. Had tons of fun with that. Multiple playthroughs. So many stuff you can do again and again and again, and it never gets old. What else have we got on this list? Bar Oasis. Yes, I said Bar Oasis on the iPod. I say, as I'm off work now, and you know, this is a multiple-hour game, I should probably, you know, put down the Pokemon for a bit and just sit down and start playing this. You know, it's a basically you know, a drinking game, RPG. You know, it's got this romance, which as I like. You know, you're a bartender, and then you sort of fall in love with this girl, and you're sort of pouring drinks for all the customers. And, you know, it's a very fun game. It really is. What else we got? This Crazy Taxi, the original Crazy Taxi, the Dreamcast version of Crazy Taxi. I have Crazy Taxi on my iPod, which I should probably, that's an idea, I'll probably have to get nick my old man's iPad and then download Crazy Taxi onto it. I'll get him to put some money in his pocket. But yeah, I said Crazy Taxi, the original one with the fucking I can't even remember the name of the band. But yeah, with the KFC, the logos and everything. Amazing game. You know, Dreamcast. One of the Dreamcast's finest, next to Shenmue. Other thing as well that I'm just sort of seeing, because I was looking at some stuff on I've been reading on Facebook. Rampage. The classic crawl up a building, smash it, eat the people, destroy the tanks, and do it again and again and again and again. Level after level of the same old shit. But it never gets old because it's really fun being a giant giant werewolf, King Kong, or Godzilla. Or with the recent one we got a few years ago, where it was like a giant lobster in it. And then you basically went up into space to fight aliens, and then you were sort of saving the world. But yeah, Rampage. I'd love a new Rampage. I really would. Something sort of to that extent. But the thing is, though, I mean, I don't know how it would work these days with the whole 3D graphics. It'd probably be harder, to be honest, you're thinking about it, like, with what's going on. But side-scrolly, RPG, something, maybe. I don't know. But it'd be good if we could get it, but... RPG, we'll talk about. Side-scrolly, smash 'em up, you know. It'd be good. It'd be really entertaining to play. But yeah, I'm going to take a quick break now because I need a rest. But I will be back in about 10 minutes or so after these messages. So stay tuned. Get yourself a drink. Get yourself something to eat. Do what you want, basically. And I will be back in a few minutes.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
it
there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it.
Wow.
I just made that up.
Pretty good.
Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church. Now that's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
That's where we go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to no one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. That's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. celebrating 15 years of ultra violence. Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what the...
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay. Oh, let me, excuse me,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
Looking to go to the biggest internet radio live event on the Eastern Seaboard? Well, go to the second annual More Like Radio live event, a tribute to Otto Peterson, Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair. Come see your favorite comedians and possibly Mersh if you could get a ride. $10 suggested donation. All proceeds will go to benefit the Otto Peterson family. August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for The Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you
doing? I meant I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey, guys, check out my sweet Chim Pokemon doll.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Team Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I'd better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Tonight, dude, vamos a Hava. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Tonight,
having a seizure. Ugh, this game rules.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelightradio.com, as I usually am. So if you do want to get in contact with the show, email us, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join the Facebook group, which I highly recommend, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. That's where I post up the topics for each week. I say next week, as we've done last week, we did the worst games. This week we did your favourite. I want to know the most overrated games that people have recommended to you, that you've played. I've got a little list gathering inside my head right now. Get in touch with us, join the Facebook group, and let me know what your, the most overrated games you've played are. Also, if you do have any ideas for topics that you want me to talk about, let me know. So I've given you the email, the group. Also, like the Facebook page, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And also, follow us on Twitter at @MLRGamerRadio. And I'll follow you back. Beer's kicking in now. Follow us on Twitter and I'll follow you back. That's why I like to do it. Keep you all listening and let you know that I actually give a shit about you. Which I do, because I love my listeners. They're all great. There's a whole bunch of people in the chat room right now. Get in touch, people. Get in touch. So welcome back to the second part. A whole bunch of new stuff for you. I really enjoy talking about favourite games. It's like, sort of sitting here thinking, I was like, well, that's a good game as well. And that, I turn 30 tomorrow. Happy birthday to me. The amount of games that I've been playing over the 25 years, I started at a young age, just get me a dad on the show. Bugging him for, can I have a pound? Can I have another pound, please, Dad? Probably when this goes up for download, I'll have to make him listen to this bit. My dad will tell you fucking many a story. I mean, you had money, piss off, go away. Being, I think I was on holiday in Crete, asking for, 50 drachma? You just had 50 drachma, keep bugging him all the hours, Then just basically end up giving me a whole stack of drachma. See ya. This is you for the night now. Fuck off. my dad's great. Where was I? Talk about stories. Time for the news. I'm not too sure where I'm going to start because there's some bits from last week and there's some bits from this week. So I'm just going to jump straight into it and find something. I'm thinking, where's that? Here we go. My favourite person in the world, Cliff Bleszinski. he's come back to the gaming world. He said he was going to retire. I think he thinks he's himself some sort of comic book superhero, because once you kill them, they come back. This is off Kotaku. Cliff Bleszinski's next game is a free-to-play shooter. If I can just scroll down the page, that'd be lovely. It's been a long time coming, but Cliff Bleszinski has finally taken the lid off his next game and the first project he's embarked on since he left Epic Games 2 years ago. So he retired for 2 years, because that's a long time, apparently. It's codenamed Blue Streak. Hopefully won't feature Martin Lawrence as a thief-turned-cop. It's not my joke. I'm stealing that joke. Ironic. He describes it as a free-to-play sci-fi arena shooter for the PC. So, Unreal Tournament then, I'm guessing? Maybe? Here's this thing from Twitter. It says, friends, at Boss Key, we'll be working with Nexon to publish a free-to-play sci-fi PC arena shooter codenamed Blue Streak. So, Unreal Tournament. When was this tweet from? From today. Okay. I will look this up later, and I will tweet back and say, are we getting Unreal Tournament? But even was it Unreal Tournament and Quake? Aren't they free to play on PC now? So, don't know. I don't know. It says the game is being made by Boss Key Productions, Bleszinski's new studio. The team there is working with Nexon, a Tokyo-based company known for making a wide variety of free-to-play online games. So basically, free-to-play online. It's going to have microtransactions. Blazinski didn't have much to say about the new game besides confirming that it's in development. Well, it's good. In true Cliffy B fashion, he took the opportunity to throw a little shade at the big budget gaming hype machine he stepped away from when he left Epic. He says, this is him on Twitter, and no, there won't be a fake CG trailer showing gameplay because that's not how Boskey does it. Okay. Cliff Bleszinski's relative absence from proper game development has left many gamers hungry for just about any news on what the game, what the guy is up to. He first made a name for himself at Epic Games, where he worked for 2 decades. How old is this guy? He looks really young. As a key figure on iconic games such as Jazz Jackrabbit, which I have no idea what the hell that is, and the Gears of War shooter, which I know what that is because I'm a big fan of Gears of War. In October 2012, he announced that he would be leaving Epic to chart the next stage of his career. He remains relatively quiet since then, save for an interview last December when he hinted that he was working on a proper PC shooter. At the end of June, he said on Twitter that he is officially coming out of retirement to make video games again. Yeah, so basically, it's not really retirement. It was on, you were on hiatus. It's not retirement. Retirement means you never stop, you know, play it again and you end up dying. But, you know, he's back. He's making something which, you know, it's a PC shooter. So basically, I'm not going to play it. But I know the lads over at Rage Quit Radio would. So make sure you listen to them. In a year, 2 years, when this game actually comes out, and they'll be ranting and raving about it, how good it is or how shit it is. And they'll probably doing some sort of some streaming on Twitch. But yeah, I say, you know, it's good that he's coming back out of retirement. He makes decent games. I mean, the guy's a douchebag, but he does make decent games. I mean, trust most of them all the same. But, you know, we'll wait and see. I mean, I'm totally looking forward to seeing what the character models for this Blue Streak game look like. But, you know, I don't know. We'll have a look. Okay, let's have a look. Nope. I don't want that. Where's that thing I was looking at earlier? Sorry, one second. I'm just trying to. There's some decent article I couldn't remember. No, I'll say that to the end. Here we go. Destiny. Yes, as you know, I love Destiny, and it loves me. This game is going to be amazing. This is from CVG. Destiny PvP games modes at there. Game modes listed: Skirmish, Control, Lockdown, Team, and Rumble. That's not bad. There's 5. You know, normally with these sort of modes, we get about, you know, for the big sort of stuff, we get about half a dozen. But I say Skirmish. I'll read through the article, then I'll add my own little bit of flavour to it. A video preview for Destiny has revealed names of what appears to be five player versus player modes. The mode called, you know, what I just read, appeared in an IGN video and were called out by Reddit's Destiny community. No further information on the modes has been released. However, the names themselves hint at some of the competitive challenges players can expect. Oops, helps if I click the right button when I scroll down. PlayStation Plus subscribers are recently granted an access to a PvE-focused first look alpha for Destiny, while publisher Activision will launch the beta for Destiny on July 17th. So is that next Thursday? Yeah, next Thursday. Well done. Good, I can count. For PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 players. The beta will be available on Xbox One, Xbox 360 in late July. So I'm guessing probably the week after. Because this sort of finishes on the 27th. So I'm guessing around then, probably. Because I know literally there's been a lot of flack about from the Xbox community about Bungie choosing sort of PlayStation over them. But I mean, I think I've got the article for that. Which I think I saw before the start of the show. But yeah, I mean, you know, go over these game modes. Yeah, Skirmish, I think, is probably like 2v2. Control is going to be like your headquarters stuff with Call of Duty. Lockdown, Capture the Flag, maybe. Team mode, Team Deathmatch, Rumble, or basically everyone against each other. Yeah. No, hang on. Maybe Control is the Capture the Flag and Lockdown is the sort of headquarters mode, maybe. Well, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, let's just see if I've got this article that I was just alluding to just now. Here we go. Yeah, this is from Kotaku. I'll scroll down too far again. Yeah, some Bungie fans feel betrayed about Destiny's PlayStation perks. Associating Bungie with Halo and the Xbox is so last gen. This generation, Bungie plans to release their newest game, Destiny, on both PlayStation and Xbox platforms. But some fans perceive console favoritism, and they're not happy about it. If you paid attention to Destiny at all in the past year, then you probably know what sorts of things have come. What sort of things have set some of the Bungie players' base off? Sony has embraced the multi-platform shooter so much that, based on marketing alone, I wouldn't blame anyone for thinking that Destiny was PlayStation exclusive. During E3, Sony opened with Destiny, and they boosted about how many players you'd be able to play the game first on PlayStation. Sure enough, the Destiny Alpha turned out to be PlayStation 4 only, and the upcoming Destiny Beta will launch on PlayStation first. When I play, this is the article, bloke who wrote the article. Who wrote this one? Wasn't that Patricia Bird, was it? Yeah, it was that Patricia. Yeah, Patricia Hernandez. Yeah, there we go. Pretty much hated amongst the Kotaku community. She's okay. You know, a bit weird with the articles she does. But yeah, she says, when I played Destiny earlier this year, before the public had access to the game, it was on PlayStation 4. When the game actually releases, PlayStation Destiny owners will also enjoy console-exclusive content such as multiplayer maps, a mission, and special items. The game will be a PlayStation exclusive in Japan, which, to most, why the fuck would it be on Xbox? All this come together to make sure Bungie fans rather upset. One look at the Bungie forums current, and you'll catch a lot of infighting between PlayStation and Xbox players, with most... I thought there was something on my glasses. Just my fingertips. Bungie treatment of PlayStation fans versus Xbox fans, while some lay out their issues. There's a fly fucking around the studio. Others more angrily demand for change and write petitions. But yeah, I mean, I can understand. All right, I can understand. I'll play devil advocate here. I can understand the fact that the Xbox fan base are pissed off at Bungie because, I mean, you look at Halo, it was Xbox exclusive. Probably it might have come to the PlayStation if there wasn't, you know, Bungie didn't sort of, you know, knocking boots with fucking Microsoft. Probably not, to be honest. Because, you know, the way the whole thing with Master Chief was, they pretty much, Microsoft locked it down, it was a Xbox exclusive. But can't they do both? Bungie do both? You know, they showed some love to Xbox the last generation with Halo. Now you've got someone else making Halo, but now they're sort of showing a bit of love to the PlayStation users. PlayStation users. I mean, it's not really worth to complain about, to be honest. I mean, the game's going to come out the same fucking day worldwide, the 9th of September. It's coming out on every single console going, apart from the Wii U. We're all going to have tons of fun with it. Yes, there's going to be multiplayer maps and missions and stuff like this and special items. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you don't have them, I mean, what's the point in worrying, to be honest? I mean, you know, I can't really see a problem to this. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I am. But, I mean, the game looks fun. It plays fun because I've played the alpha, and next week I'm going to start playing the beta. Just trying to think. I'm off next Friday, so I literally download it on the Thursday, playing it all day Friday. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's just, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, they have anger issues and stuff, but if they want to show a bit of love to PlayStation users, then fucking let them do it. But yeah, you know, it's whatever. It's a game. It's something that we're all going to play, something we're all going to have fun with. And yes, some people do get skipped out and stuff, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've played games on consoles that haven't had the exclusivity. I mean, you know, I mean, you have to buy the consoles to get the exclusivities, but, you know, if you don't have them, it's not at the end of the world. I mean, because, to be honest, if you don't have anything, you're not going to miss it when you don't get it. You know, have not, want not. I'm trying to think what the fucking analogy is, but I can't think of anything right now. But yeah, we'll move on to something else. Just sort of move over from this for a moment. I want to talk about The Sims 4. Now, there's been a lot of people moaning about this. I mean, I'm not too fussed because I like The Sims. It's fun. But EA responds to fan outcry over The Sims 4 missing features. I heard a bit about this because some guys at work who play The Sims and they know all that sort of stuff. EA has attempted to calm fans of The Sims franchise after it emerged that two regular features will be missing from The Sims 4. The Sims will now skip their usual toddler phase and move directly from baby to youngster. And swimming pools will also not be included. Let me scroll down 1 second. Word that the features have been omitted emerged last month and was met with a vocal response. A campaign was more mounted against the changes, and last night EA responded. The fact is, we owe you a clearer explanation for why pools and toddlers will not be in The Sims 4 at launch. Executive producer Rachel Franklin wrote in a new blog post. It begins with the two technology and systems we built for this new game. For this new base game for The Sims, a new AI system, new animation system, new audio positioning tools, new locomotion logic, new routing intelligence, and much more are all entirely new in the game. So the bottom line is that when we sat down and looked at everything we wanted to do for this game, the all-new tech we wanted to build into it, the fact that there would be a trade-offs and there would be difficult... And these would disappoint some of our fans. Hard pill to swallow, believe me, but delivering on the vision set out for The Sims 4 required focus. Sims now have 7 unique walk styles, Franklin revealed, 320 emotional-based animations, and 600 reactions to objects. Sims can now multitask, and a standing Sim can now talk with a sitting Sim, except in the swimming pool, presumably. EA first touched on the issue last month and attempted to placate fans by suggesting that the features would still be added in post-launch update or an expansion. Said, we recognise that some of you will be disappointed with the pools and toddlers won't be available when the Sims 4 game, Sims 4 base game. I hate it when they just fucking say the Sims 4. I mean, yes, I know we're going to get expansions, but you don't fucking hear all other games talk about the base game. It makes it sound like you've like a half-finished game. The Sims 4 launches in September. Lead developer director Sim Guru. Is he Guru Ryan? Is he Asian or is it just Ryan? Oh, the fuck knows. I played The Sims 3. I had it. It was fun. You know. But I never got this far because it was too tricky for me to use on a controller because it is literally a PC game and should always be on a PC. But it was tricky to try and play on that. But I mean, I never got to the phase where it was, you know, the baby making stage because it was still tutorials of what I was playing through on the main story. I never got to making the babies. And even when I did, you know, play Sims a lot back in, you know, 10 years ago when I played on the PC. I don't think it was toddlers. I'm talking about Sims 1 and 2 I'm talking about. You have the baby and then it would go straight to youngster. So, you know, the toddler thing wasn't even there. So I haven't really missed out on anything. But the swimming pools, which I don't get. I mean, I know pretty much why, probably. I mean, cause it's always fun to, make your Sim go swimming in the swimming pool and then take out the stairs. So basically end up dying. But I don't really see another reason for that other than that. It's hard to explain. Hard to reason. But, I mean, they've given us a reason. I don't believe half of it, to be honest. I don't know. I just sort of... It's awkward. I mean, I don't really think there's a big enough reason to take the swimming pool out. But, I mean, the whole toddler thing I can understand. But if things are getting better with technology, maybe they're trying to set, like, a set standard You know how we have, like, you know, PC games, the quality gets better and better and better. You have more graphics card and that sort of stuff. But with you trying to sort it out for the home console, so sort of setting off the home console as their, you know, I don't like saying it, but the base unit, and then sort of working it up that way. But I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future. Yeah, here we go. As I'm a big lover of... Far Cry 4. We have the Far Cry 4 current edition costs $129.99 in the US. I'm sort of wondering if this comes out over here. Special edition price stateside, no season pass included. The US region version of Far Cry 4 current edition bundle has been confirmed at a price of $129. The EU region version of the Cry Additional Bundle, oh, here we are, was confirmed last week. Currently promotionally priced at £89. £84.99 on PC and, yeah, here we are, yeah. £89 on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Though Ubisoft says the regular price will be, what the fuck? Ubisoft says the regular price will be £94.99. How does that work? That can't be right. Yeah, probably less than that. So about 44. I think they pressed the wrong fucking button, to be honest. The US bundle includes the same extras as the EU version, with one exception. The US bundle doesn't appear to include a DLC season pass, which is included in the EU bundle as an Ubisoft store Ubisoft shop exclusive. Here's the official Ubisoft, the US Far Cry 4 edition contents list. It's got the game, 3 bonus missions and a harpoon gun, 7.9-inch figurine, it's poster, travel journal, map of the Himalayan open world, and collector's edition. Yeah, I mean, I bought the Far Cry 3 special edition. I got a book, a sort of bag to put my game in. It was like a case thing, would wrap around the game and the book as well. It's like a sort of carry case sort of thing, but for the game as such. And also I got a little bobblehead figure, which is sitting on my shelf next to all my Batman statues. But yeah, it looks pretty good. I might pick it up, to be honest, but given that when this comes out, it's all the games that I want to play are coming out at the same time, so it might be a bit tricky. But yeah, I say it's going to be worth playing anyway, and we'll wait and see. Let's have a look at something. Okay, let's have a look. Here we go. Now, I saw this. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about, you know, Oculus Rift and virtual reality, and I got this article here from GameSpot. This is from yesterday. I saw this and sort of made me wonder about, you know, can virtual reality be something? Ooh, excuse me, one sec. Ooh, hang on, just need a drink. Much better. Yeah, PlayStation 4 boss says virtual reality can be next frontier for games. Sony Computer Entertainment CEO says company's new project, Morpheus headset, is definitely more than an experiment. I would hope so, because it looks quite nice, actually. I won't be able to use it because of my glasses, but since Sony has high hopes for the future of virtual reality in games. In a new interview, Sony Computer Entertainment CEO Andrew House said the company has made a significant investment in PlayStation 4 virtual reality headset Project Morpheus, and suggests that the virtual reality overall could be the next frontier for games. No. I wear glasses. There must be a whole shit ton of nerdy looking gamers like myself, people who wear glasses, who probably couldn't even use this fucking thing. So you're making a tool. hang on. This is Sony. They're going to make something for people who can't use it. That's great. They make controllers for games that don't use their parts and little handheld consoles with parts on them that gamers don't want to develop for. Yeah, that all makes sense. Virtual reality, unless they figure out some way of getting it around my glasses, because I've already got glasses on my head and I've got to put another headset on top. 3D fucks the shit out of my brain anyway. It gives me a massive headache. I can't read this article. It says, Yeah, it's definitely more than an experiment. House told The Guardian about Project Morpheus. We've made some commitments. We're putting significant investment into the product. One of the reasons House is so enthusiastic about the future of virtual reality for games is because he says the technology will mature to such a point where you will be, where you're wearing a virtual reality headset, you truly feel transported to another world. No. Unless it's the holodeck, then yes. But until then,
no.
We do not know. We do now think that we can get to this point of delivering a magical sense of presence where your brain tricks you into thinking you're actually in this place, House said. He says, we think there's something there that can that could be really, really interesting for a next frontier of a game development. Virtual reality has proven popular with the hardcore gaming crowd. Really? Really? I'm a member of the hardcore gaming crowd. No one fucking asked me. But some, including the CEO of Grand Theft Auto, parent company Take-Two Interactive, have questioned the technology's mainstream appeal. Asked if Project Morpheus has mass market potential, House said he wasn't sure. Says, I don't know, but I think that at the very least, it's going to be another really interesting advance for the PlayStation 4 ecosystem and another way to deliver a brand new experiences, he says. But that's... yeah, that's what we're all about. One sec. Scroll down. That was a nice big article. This is a good article. I like this. It gets me fired up and it gets me thinking. I really like these sort of articles. I really like. This is it for virtual reality. Sounded weird then. For virtual reality to thrive in the way that some have suggested that it will, there also needs to be a strong support for developers. House said after he saw game creators latch onto the Oculus Rift headset. He was convinced that Sony could do the same thing with Project Morpheus. While Oculus, We saw this groundswell of game development. Help if I actually clean the fucking monitor again. Development that didn't necessarily take. Have a monetizable. Shit ass. Here you are, big word. Monetizable or a business option, but developers were so passionate about this space. That they were doing this essentially in their spare time, House said. It struck me that if there's a variety of game developers showing interest in the space, then it's probably time to jump in and see if we can play a part and give the tools they're looking for. Yeah, so basically, if everyone jumps in on this shit, then they'll do something. But it's basically whoever's putting their toe in the foot of everyone's putting their toe in the water. But until they actually step into it, then nothing's going to happen with this. And I would laugh. I mean, I've said it before. This will probably happen. And you know how many times I'm right about something when I say something. I know it's not useful to me, but I actually want it to go somewhere. Virtual reality. I mean, we had the Virtual Boy, which was a pile of dog shit. I want to see this do something. I want to be proven. Prove me wrong. Prove to me that this can do something. I'm not a big fan of virtual reality. Augmented reality, yes, I love augmented reality. I mean, that Eye of Judgment game is shit, but I like the fucking that I could sort of push the little card characters that would show up on the screen and mess them around. And it was fun, but we'll see. But yeah, here we go. Oculus's VR's own game boss industry veteran. Jason Rubin says it will probably be a few years until we see virtual reality's killer app. Though both Sony and Oculus are optimistic about the future for virtual reality, its impact on gaming remains to be seen. I mean, just that's the thing with virtual reality. Gaming isn't its only outlook. It's everything. It's exploration, holidays, safari, all this sort of shit. I mean, fucking go and watch Back to the Future 2. I mean, there was virtual reality stuff there. And also a young Elijah Wood. But I don't know. I want it to do something. I mean, I want it to do something good, but I also want it to do something bad. Because I'm like, I have no love for virtual reality or Oculus Rift. I couldn't give a shit about it. Mainly because I can't really use it. But to be honest, when it does come out, I mean, it's probably going to be really expensive. I was just thinking about the Kinect, how that was as well. It's like, yeah, you built something that no one wanted to make games for, and the games we did get for it were shit. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see what happens, people. Let's have a look at something else to talk about. But yeah, I mean, virtual reality, if it takes off, then good. If not, then, oh, fuck it. I don't know. What are we doing? What we got? Let's have a look. Here we go, yeah. Something from Valve. Yeah, Valve, this is from CVG. Valve may showcase a Steam controller at Gamescom. According to listings on the official Gamescom site, which should be actually quite soon, to be honest, Gamescom in Germany. Yeah, it's in August, that's a couple of weeks. It appeared that Valve may be preparing to showcase the new Steam controller to attendees of the Gamescom Expo in Germany in August. This is according to a list of exhibitors of the official Gamescom website, which has an entry for Valve that specifically lists controllers. Among the things the firm will show at the event... Valve has not showcased the controller in the flesh since its original unveiling. Valve revealed the first pictures of the redesigned controller in March. The new model features drastic design revisions over the original model, losing the originally placed touchscreen in favour of standard face buttons, in addition to the dual habitable touchpads. Yeah, it does look nicer, but the launch of Valve's upcoming Steam Machine hardware was expected this year, but has been delayed to what is now an expected 2015 launch. Designer Eric Hope confirmed the delay in May, stating that the new controller is the main reason for the delay. Says, we're now using wireless prototype controllers to conduct live playtests with everyone from industry professionals to diehard gamers to casual gamers, Hope explained at the time. So, yeah, I mean, see, the Steam box, Steam machine, whatever the hell you want to call it, I have no interest in this either. I can understand the necessity for it from people, but it's just not something that's, I think, that's required from the gaming community. I mean, yes, you have your console players, you have your PC players, and this is somewhere in between, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm just sort of... I'm having trouble trying to get my head around this. I sort of understand the whole reason. I mean, I say some PC players at work, they've said to me, oh, they're interested in this. But I'm like, yeah, it's going to be really fucking expensive and probably a waste of money. But, fuck it, whatever. Gamescom in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to finding out what gets shown off there. Because then we've got, San Diego Comic-Con, so whatever game stuff they show off there. We've got Tokyo Game Show in September, I believe it is. The last couple of game shows before the end of the year, and then we get all the good stuff for Christmas. But we've got Eurogamer coming up in September as well. I don't think I'll bother going to that one because I don't know. I mean, everything I know I can see already, and I have no interest in queuing up like I did last year. It's just not one of those things. And the fact that all the stuff that I'm going to play will be coming out between now and then, so. Why go to Eurogamer and play Destiny while I can stay at home and play it myself? But let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, because I talked about this last week about Crytek. This is from Kotaku. Crytek's UK staff no longer going to work. There's still trouble at Crytek, the independent game developer behind games like Crysis and Rise. And as of yesterday, the bulk employees of Crytek's UK office are no longer going to work, according to the people familiar with the situation. This comes in the wake of numerous reports that Crytek, which has studios across the world, has had trouble paying staff on time. Though Crytek has publicly denied facing financial difficulties, I've heard close to 20 current and former employees stating that, as we reported last week, paychecks have been late and a Rise sequel was cancelled following a dispute with Microsoft over who would own the rights to the franchise, which, I talked about. New development points more to trouble ahead. Over the past 2 days, I've spoken with, this is the bloke who wrote the article, I've spoken with four people connected to Crytek UK Studios, which is currently developing Homefront, the Revolution. According to those people, Crytek UK staff have still not been paid in the full amounts they are owed. And this week, according to two sources, the staff at Crytek UK office handed in formal grievance letters and went home. Which is understandable. You're not fucking paying us. Why the fuck are we coming to work? It's kind of weird. I mean, it does make me wonder if this, you know, if this, you know, the new Homefront game, The Revolution, if that's ever going to come out. I mean, I'm not too fussed. I mean, I liked the original, but I didn't like it that much. I mean, the multiplayer was what did it for me. But I sort of wonder that, you know, it's tricky. It's tricky to talk about this. Because, like, well, if the game doesn't come out, it's no skin off my nose. But what I don't want it to become is, like, what we had with Alan Wake. What other games? With Alan Wake. I think, Aliens Colonial Marines. I think that was, like, one of the ones. It was, like, a shelf game. Duke Nukem Forever. One of the things that's, like, you know, legendary games that was supposed to come out and never did. It got get pushed back and pushed back. Sort of what the Last Guardians become. But we'll wait and see, to be honest. But I'll carry on reading. One person familiar with the studio estimates that around 100 people have left, though it's unclear how many people plan to leave permanently and how many would like to stay with Crytek UK, which has been consistently losing staff for the past few months. Rumour around the studio is that Crytek and Homefront publisher Deep Silver are currently negotiating over what will happen next. Employees at Crytek UK, which is basically Nottingham, are hoping that Deep Silver will purchase the studio and continue funding the development of Homefront the Revolution. According to two people connected to the company, they have invested a lot in Homefront and will want want to protect their investment, said one source. From now, however, Crytek UK is in stasis as employees wait to see what will happen next. Representatives from Crytek and Deep Silver did not respond to requests for comment. But, if it happens, it happens. But I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, they need to get paid, these people, as everyone does. Otherwise, you know, why would we do nothing if we weren't getting paid for it? But I mean, just Homefront the Revolution, it's a game that wasn't needed. I mean, you could literally, I mean, Homefront didn't do that well, but it came and it went, and no one really cared. I mean, there was outrage about it because it was Koreans or whatever the fuck it was back when it came out, but this is, you know, Homefront the Revolution, it's not a game that was needed to, you know, to please anyone. It's just something that came out, really, to be honest. What else we got? What have we got? Yeah, what we got? Let's have a look. Something else to close the show out with. Here we go, yeah. Sorry from CBG. This was like from one of the articles last week. Stephen Toulouse joins Gears of War team. Former Xbox Live publicity. What the hell's wrong with me? Policy boss becomes Black Tusk's community man. Former Microsoft employee Stephen Toulouse has joined Black Tusk Studios to help work on its upcoming Gears of War game. Toulouse confirmed the news on his blog, stating that as of today, I am now director of community engagement for Black Tusk Studios. I'm not sure there is a word that properly expresses my excitement at the opportunity to represent this community. It just comes up with a bunch of bullshit Gears of War tie-in words. But Toulouse, who was Xbox One's Live Director of Policy and Enforcement, resigned from his position at Microsoft in 2012 after 18 years at the company. In his new role as Director of Community Engagement, Toulouse will be engaging with Gears of War fans to get their thoughts on what they'd like to see in the series' upcoming Xbox One entry. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like, to be honest, with Gears of War. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. He says, I want to be flooded with your thoughts, he states, before providing an email address for gamers to contact him. I want to hear everything you like, dislike, want, don't want, hope for in relation to this rich and amazing world. Spare no detail. All your thoughts will be entertained. Depending on the volume, I can cannot promise I can respond to everything, but I do promise this. I will go sleep to try. Microsoft acquired Gears of War IP from Epic Games in January of this year and announced that Black Tusk will be assuming development duties. So that's good. He seems hands-on with the job, so that's good for him. I'm happy for him. And, he's given people out his email address. So it's like, email me, tell me what you want. Good way to jump into the community of Gears of War feet first. I mean, I got in contact with Codemasters and the Grid team who did the new Grid Autosport game. I said, now that you've actually done this, are we going to get a new Micro Machines game? They said, once they look into their crust, they said, well, hang on, let me look up the tweet of what they said. One second. Okay, let's have a look. I'll read you word for word what was said. One second. If I can just sign out of my Twitter. But I'm sort of glad they actually responded because I'm actually, like, these people are actually pretty good. I mean, fucking any company that can respond to, that actually responds to you, that actually, cares about the community. I mean, I report to all you listeners. Here we go. One second. What we got? I'll try and get this up quickly before the show ends. God, Twitter's so slow today. Come on, you piece of shit. Here we go. Yes. So they said, this is from at Grid Game. It says, we'll consult our crystal ball and get back to you. So basically, they might think about it. If they don't, no worries. But I did say to them, if you do, make this, I would like someone to come on the show. So we could be getting someone from the Grid team, Codemasters, onto on the show, hopefully, if we're lucky. But I love a new Micro Machines game. That would be so good. This pretty much wraps up the show for another week. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, we go live UK time, 9 p.m. if you're listening in the UK, or 4 p.m. Eastern if you're in the States, or wherever else in the world. I'll let you work out the time yourself. Don't forget, you always contact us. You can email me at antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like our Facebook page, up to 172 now, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. Also, go on iTunes, leave us a review. 5 stars would be great, trying to get more of those going, so hopefully we can get even more reviews and higher up the old chart for More Like Radio. Say if you're in whatever country you are listening, go on your iTunes thing for your downloads and podcast. Leave us a review. Email me, let me know you've actually left a review, and I will give your name a shout-out. Don't forget, topic for next week, I want to know the most overrated games you've played. And if you do have ideas for topics, let me know on that as well. But yeah, say as well, live event again. Oh, shit. Just punch the mic. August 9th, Just Jake's, Montclair, New Jersey. Pretty much a month away. I can't wait. It's going to be a tons of fun. I literally, as soon as I get on that plane, I will be very happy. But yeah, thanks for listening, people. And I will see you again next week. Don't forget, coming up next is Alcohol by Volume, which should be next if you're listening live, or next if you're on the download. See you all next week. Take care, people. Bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.